It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Progress, only thing that'll last.
3005, the year that we fear, only God will survive. To be alone is a lie.
Welcome into the show. I asked the question at the tail end of the last show, and I probably didn't ask it in a proper way, because it got our preeminent draft expert not upset, I'd say, but he did want to defend the purpose of the combine. And what I was asking was, why is the combine on TV? At least the top six guys in the draft aren't going to participate in any of the workouts. Cam Ward today said he will interview, but he won't throw. Shadur Sanders already said he was not going to do any of that. Travis Hunter said he's not going to do that. Mason Graham, another one who isn't. Now, he got measured and all that, but he's not going to do any of the stuff that, like, NFL network guys do to show how hard it is. Like, now there's more than Rich Eisen running the 40. They've turned it into their own media Olympics in ways, but it led me to think, for people who aren't doing this for a living, who have a reason to know Kelvin Banks and why a slide for him might affect the draft. Like, if you just know, oh, all these guys are at the Heisman ceremony, except for Dylan Gabriel. Ain't no one looking for him at the combine. But the rest of them, and I don't get to see them do anything besides talk. It led me to think, which is the worst product, Sean? We can have this conversation right now. Which is a worse TV product at the moment? The Combine or All-Star Weekend in the NBA? If you had to choose one, you have to choose one to watch. They both are doing something that resembles the sport they play, but not really. And that's for the entire weekend of the NBA, because they have a skills competition. They have a three-point shootout, the dunk contest. They have all these things that approximate what you do on a basketball court, but it isn't really basketball. And, of course, you see what they do in the combine, throwing against the air, all those things. Which one's the worst television product right now?
It's tough because they're both really bad. I guess I'd go combine because there's not even, like, at least All-Star Weekend, it is, like, theoretically, mostly famous basketball players doing things.
Sure.
Like, yes, in the dunk contest, it's all going to be rookies now. But the three-point contest is, like, mostly all-stars or great shooters. Skills competition, you get a little bit of a mix of all-stars and, just, you know, Chris Paul was in this one where it's guys that, again, are at least notable.
Wimby was in it.
I mean, the Cavs won with, I think it was Garland and Mobley. Or no, Mitchell and Mobley. So, again, it's at least guys. NFL Combine, you're telling me that the guys I would know, or the guys I would care about if I'm just Joe fan just trying to – like if I'm just an NFL fan and I don't know these guys from college, there's no point in watching this.
Yeah, there's
even even knowing these guys from college is not really a point. I mean, you could just tell me that a guy – what a guy runs. Oh, Quinn Ewers ran a 4.6. Oh, okay, cool.
Because of my history of knowing how those numbers work, that's pretty good for a quarterback.
Yeah.
If he was a cornerback, that'd be awful. I just know. I would know. I don't need to see him do it. I don't need to be wowed by
also,
him running 40 yards.
It can be a five-second clip on my phone.
Yeah, I don't actually have to watch the broadcast. So that was my line of thinking. At this point, if I'm not even going to get to see the best players by what they did at least last year, the most famous players go out there and perform, even if it is against the air, what's this for other than a showcase for how much content the NFL Network can create around the workouts? And, of course, it's a time for interviews, and there were several going on, and they will continue to go on, and the Texans were prominent because they had their GM and head coach there. We heard from Casario yesterday. We'll hear a little bit from him today. But the question of CJ's offseason continues, and at least last year's offseason particularly, and how that'll change. So we'll get to some sound from DeMeco Ryans when we come back. DeMeco Ryans spoke about what CJ has to do to get better. And now that the 2024 season is over, the head guys in charge can speak openly about maybe their lack of appreciation for CJ's world tour last year. I don't know if he'll still be allowed to teach kids in Asian countries how to play football. I don't know. I don't know if that will be something that's off the table, but we know we can expect the podcast stuff will go away. And DeMeco and Nick Casario have spoken about it the last couple of days. So we'll hear from DeMeco Ryans about that when we come back. It is also Altuve Day in left field. He will get his first start in left today. Oh, he's making his first appearance in the spring today. It's not going to be anywhere you can traditionally watch. Maybe if you have MLB Game Pass. I'm not sure if they block out spring training games if you're in the local market. But there are alternative ways. You would have to find the other team's broadcast. I've already looked into it to see if I could watch him play left today because it won't be on Space City Home Network. So Altuve in left. We'll give you a camp update courtesy of a couple of the guys out there. There's an update on Luis Garcia and what he's doing. We gave you the Lance McCullers one yesterday. Luis Garcia, the other prominent Astros pitcher beyond Christian Javier and McCullers, who isn't going to be ready for the start of the year. There's an update on where he is and where he's progressing as he tries to make his way back. He's needed, very much so. So it'd be nice to get some positive progression. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. Anthony Edwards got kicked out of a game. And it ties into what LeBron said about the face of the league. We know Anthony Edwards wants no part of that. Well, there's sound from LeBron about why a player might not want it. So a lot to get to before we close it out here. At 11:30, we'll be joined by Michael Carroll. He'll give you an update on what you should or shouldn't watch. I mean, I don't know what he thinks about Paradise, the latest episode, but telling you guys, if you need something to watch that's an easy watch, but really good television, Paradise on Hulu is the play right now. Of course, Severance, the latest episode was out last night. I didn't get to watch that one. I was too busy, almost breaking this microphone apparently, but too busy doing nothing. I'm not going to pretend like I couldn't have watched it. I just decided not to. So I'll get to that tonight. So we'll hear from Michael at about 11:30, host of Comicast. He does that show with Jong Lee. All right. Some NFL stuff, some basketball stuff, plenty of Astros as well. We'll do all that throughout the show. We'll be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Could you guess why Mahomes' barber is in Us Weekly?
Because he just cut Patrick Mahomes' hair in a different way from the last.
And he has an explanation for why.
Oh, I'm glad someone's explaining why he cut his
hair. Yes, it's something.
Why a 28-year-old man decided to change his haircut.
He did it because he no longer had to feed into the superstition of the haircut helping him win Super Bowls. Now that he lost one, he can get a cut, according to the barber. Like, Mahomes wanted to cut his hair, but, you know, I'm winning. Can't cut the hair. And then you get your ass kicked in the Super Bowl. I can cut my hair.
He's already gotten his ass kicked in a Super Bowl in 2020.
But he had won two. But he wasn't ready to cut his hair at that point. He had been ready to cut his hair for the last couple years.
Okay. Oh, okay. And he just was, hey, I'm winning a Super Bowl every year. I'm not going to change things.
It's better so, than he would wear clean underwear, but cut his hair or not cut his hair. So he chose one over the other.
March of 2023, he was like, man, I really want to cut my hair.
If I'm going by what the barber says,
he won a Super Bowl.
He wanted to cut his hair for the last couple years, but the Super Bowl and all the winning said, nope, can't do it. Superstitious. Now he got chased all around New Orleans by that Eagles defensive front. He can cut his hair now.
Okay. All right, Patrick Mahomes. Do you?
So when Dillon.
He should have been changing his hair a lot more in college.
He did. Yeah, but he wanted the haircut back then.
Oh, okay.
The difference is he had not grown tired of his cut. I have to keep explaining this to you, Sean.
That's so stupid.
I have to, I will.
He could have just said, I want to change my haircut.
No. He couldn't do it. All the winning. So Dillon Raiola has no real excuse. He doesn't do a lot of winning. The cosplay doesn't work if he doesn't cut his hair.
But he wants the cosplay.
So he's got to cut his hair if he loves it that much. But we've talked about that.
I hope he does.
He should not cut his hair, at least not immediately, because it would just be embarrassing for him to continue to model himself after a grown man, just because he's a great quarterback. Okay, we should have a great quarterback here. We believe he's on track to be one. Last year was not a great year for CJ Stroud, and whether you believe. Talking to every podcast that put in a request affected it. Whether you believe that or not, the Texans have certainly voiced a belief that CJ's going to change the way he does things, and CJ said it himself. So it's not just CJ. It's not just Nick Caserio. It's also D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans talked about a change in the approach for CJ, and here's D'Amico Ryans, I believe, with Cameron Wolf of NFL Network.
CJ he has to take a step back, right, and really – dive into the off season, right? And that's where your season is won. Like, how are you putting that work into in the off season? Like, how are you hitting the weight room? Like, how are you detailing your craft and improving that and bringing other guys along with you? And I think CJ is going to be much better. He's going to have a much better off season this time around. He's invested into being great. And you have a player who has that mindset to be great. We've seen his capabilities. We've seen the throws he's made all up and down the field. Any throw, any play we need to make him utilizing his legs to make play. Like, he's more than talented, right, to lead our team to that next step. Just continue to get those other guys around him to play the same way.
So we've heard leadership as a main talking point for the Texans really since the year ended. I did not attribute that to CJ Stroud. I did not think a lack of leadership could be placed on his shoulders. And now if you ask the Texans, they likely would not couch it that way. But you heard the coach talk about bringing other guys along. And as a young player, it might be difficult, although he's been pretty vocal in some ways. Maybe that's the next step. He's got to be someone who galvanizes the team. Maybe he has to become a bigger voice in that room than what we assume Laramie Tunsil is, because we all think that's a negative. So your quarterback, one of your young leaders, has to take a different approach. Does he have to get, and it's weird to say, another grown man in line. Does he have to get Laramie Tunsil and others in line? I'm the guy here. You'll follow my lead. And the first thing he's going to do, at least it appears, is to be less available when it comes to public appearances. I think if he had played well, no one would care about the podcast. And I do question whether all the media stuff he did actually affected his play. What you heard, though, was a lack of he didn't meet the standard of focus that they wanted as far as getting himself ready. Do I think you could do that and do podcasts? Sure. But the look is not great if you play that way and your coach and now your GM talked about maybe not having the right approach in the offseason. So I wouldn't I care less about the appearances and more about his coach saying he wasn't, I guess, all in on what you need to do to be a really good quarterback. Is that something that should be overly concerning for a what was then a first year playing going to a second year? No, because you don't know what it takes until you do it. Even for all the conversations and all the pub he got for being someone that Tom Brady loved, can you expect a 23-year-old to prepare like the veteran that Tom Brady became and best quarterback of all time? No. So even no matter what Tom Brady said about C.J. Stroud, there was a process to get there, and last offseason was just part of that process. He didn't do enough, according to his coach, to be ready for the season ahead. And you hope that changes this year. I do think they have their own responsibility to get him help, and I guess that conversation will continue to take place until they do make some acquisitions in spots I think are important, namely the interior of the offensive line. But it's been a different sounding couple of days from the top guys in the organization, because it was all greatness, greatness, greatness for CJ. This year, he's got stuff to work on.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, that's really just the reason. It's not just the fact that he was on podcasts last season. He was an active podcaster last offseason. But it's also like what he was saying on those podcasts, yeah. Where it was a lot of confidence being exuded in those podcasts. I forgot which one it was
where he put himself in the top five.
Yeah, he put himself as a top five quarterback, and it's just you follow that up with a year that's disappointing, and it is natural that not only the general public, but also the people directly involved, your direct superiors, your coach, your GM, are going to say, hey, why don't we chill out, man? Why don't we just relax a little on the podcast circuit, tell everyone how good you are. I mean, we see Paul George deciding to take a step away from podcasting in the middle of the season to help the Sixers eventually win the championship this year.
Does he mean this year? Did he mean this year?
I mean, he does
have three more years of guaranteed money left after this year. Maybe
he's not going to stop podding for 3 years.
Are you sure?
Nah, he can't. He can't do that.
I mean, I'm sure there's
podcast
a,
P.
It is. I'm sure he has signed a contract with someone to do it. So how does he just say, "Nah, I'm not doing this anymore"?
Yeah.
Unless he's independent, fully independent.
No, it's. I think it's. I forgot what the company is, but he's brought to you by Prize Picks.
Do we think the money ran dry, and that's why he? Sorry guys,
no,
I'm gonna focus on basketball.
I'm sure the last few months have been the best numbers he's put up, or at least last few weeks.
Look, Paul George, if you decided to turn that negative of the Prize Picks money of drying up or lack of sponsorship, which feels unlikely that people didn't want to pay, but if they did, and you want to change it into, hey, I'm just focused on basketball now, I respect. The grift. I respect it. But I wonder if the Texans would have been better served noticing that in real time. You know, when it was going on last offseason and saying, hey, our quarterback's not as focused as he should be. Not the outward facing podcast stuff, but did they see a lack of time being put in and didn't say anything because of how successful he was? And, you know, and you can't say something to a guy because he was so great? Or did they not know that he wasn't as focused? Because now I won't say wasted a year, but if you knew this was a thing last offseason, why didn't you have a conversation with your quarterback about putting in more hours?
It could have been a showing up to training camp thing.
And that's when they found out?
Yeah, that's when teachers found out you didn't do the summer reading.
That's true.
they don't really care what you're doing. You know, you can podcast and get your work in at the same time.
You would assume that was what was happening.
Paul George.
Well, he wasn't. That's the problem for him. He isn't. And by the way, since Paul George just decided to stop podcasting, they did push the Knicks to a close loss. So things are improving. They still haven't won a game since the All-Star break, I believe. But they did push the Knicks
in a close loss.
Better than a blowout loss. So Paul George, it's working.
Are they still 2.5 games out of the 10 seed?
The Bulls are terrible, so maybe. Let's see. Yeah. No. Yeah, 2.5, but the Nets have overtaken them for the 11th seed. But they are still 2.5 games out because the Bulls ain't winning any games. But the Sixers have lost 9 in a row.
The Bulls have extended their lead over the Sixers since they've traded Zach LaVine.
Somehow, some way. Their lead has grown.
Despite trading.
And this is why by the way, because they've been 2-8 in their last 10. How have they extended the lead? Because the Sixers have been 1-9 in their last 10. That's how math works.
They'll do it.
Yep. And the Nets, for some reason, have decided to win games. Do they not control their picks? I don't remember.
They do.
Okay, they do control their picks.
That was the
trade in the offseason got them their picks.
Yeah, they traded their picks, or they traded the Suns' picks for their picks.
So the Rockets have the Suns' picks now.
Yes.
And how bad the Suns are playing, it might have been a better bet to keep the Suns' picks.
Almost.
But the Suns, almost. The Suns are now
27 wins. Nets are at 21 wins.
And the Nets have won 6 out of last, and they're actually playing pretty good basketball, although they've lost their last 2. So whether you focus on podcasts or not, it doesn't mean you'll win. But at least in the eyes of your organization, it feels like you're more focused, and that's what we hope for CJ Stroud.
It's also just like a bad look.
It's all of it put together.
We were doing it at the time. Like, this is not revisionist history.
It's true.
We were like, especially, it was a couple weeks ago, but last year, it was Super Bowl week. He was making a lot of appearances. He was on like a Kevin Hart, the Kevin Hart show where you're in a ice tub for some reason. He did the NBA celebrity game, and then the next weekend did the Travis Scott softball game. Then helpfully walked Amber Rose. Drove her home. Helf, what a gentleman.
Of course.
And then went on a podcast. It was like, I remember at the time, we're like, so every weekend he's just doing something? He's doing something major every okay.
I mean, as long as you were locking in on film Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, do whatever you want. But whatever his work was in the offseason, his GM and head coach didn't deem it sufficient once they saw his play.
Do you think they saw him they saw the clips of him and Micah Parsons in China and Japan, and they're like, I hope he brought a tablet or something with him for the plane ride. Watch some defenses.
Yeah, how does that work? Does he have to inform his team that he's taken a trip to a foreign country to teach people how to play ball? Or does that come as a surprise and they see it in a clip on social media?
Is he Bleacher Report tweeted?
Oh, CJ's in China. What?
Wait, why is he sumo wrestling?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. I'm sure NFL security was involved and they know that stuff. So they probably were informed beforehand.
I think it was part of like an NFL Grow the Game initiative. So like it was probably all on the up and up. But I do like just the idea of Nick Casario just walking into the office one day. What are these?
They knew he was going, but they probably weren't aware that sumo wrestling was on the itinerary at some point. That feels like something that they were surprised with. These are the questions we should be asking at the Combine. Yeah, podcast, whatever. Did you know he was going to sumo wrestle?
Yeah, did you know?
And how did you feel about it? Well, I guess we know how they feel. No more is what they're saying. But they got their own responsibilities. And we'll hear from Casario on what they will and will not sacrifice for culture when it comes to drafting a young player. I would say if you're going to draft a young player, make sure it's not a guard. Pay for that. So your quarterback doesn't have to pay for it in the season ahead. Okay. So with that out of the way, we'll do some Astros stuff here coming up. And like I said, we'll hear from Casario when we come back. It was a night in the NBA that wasn't very busy, but LeBron had some quotes about the state of how the media covers the league, and not specific to overall media, but how NBA media, the guys who make their money talking about the game, have treated the game and how that might affect how a young star wants to approach their place in the hierarchy of the NBA. So we'll get to that too. So if you want to get in, you can 713-780-3776. We will be back. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We obviously went through some coaching changes. We had to make some modifications. And I think when we hired D'Amico, I think the big thing, too, systematically, like defensively, like that system, this system is different than how I was trained. So how you evaluate players, what's important, what you prioritize. So you have to maintain an open mind as you're piecing that team together. But I think the traits and characteristics and profile of the player, of what you want in the person when they walk in the building, that's remained consistent. So you have to have a certain level of discipline. You have to be committed to that. If you prioritize and say, this is important, their competitiveness, are they a good teammate? Do they put the team first? Do they have mental and physical toughness? If you say those things are important, who are the players that have those qualities? Like, that's our job and responsibility, and you have to stay true to that. If you start to veer off, well, these are important, but you know what? This guy ran 4-1, and he's not a good kid. All right, well, are you really staying true to what you believe in? So I think philosophically, D'Amico and I are aligned in that respect.
There's a lot of whispers.
That was Nick Caserio on what I believe is Pat McAfee. That voice at the end sounded familiar. That's their philosophy on the draft. You heard him talk about kid, talking about the draft and who they might draft. What about their philosophy and all those things about what the player puts first when it comes to established veterans? Because Stephon Diggs is currently in the middle of, I guess he's already done it. He's filed a suit against a woman known as Mulan Hernandez. I say she's known as that because that's not her actual name, but that's the name she goes by on the show Basketball Wives. She's a former participant of that show. And she is being sued by Stephon Diggs for up to $1 million for assault, wrongful taking of property, trespassing, intentional infliction of emotional damage, aiding and abetting, and conspiracy. She is fired back with nothing she's made or put into a lawsuit about things Stephon Diggs has done. And Sean and I, right before we came back, we were all thinking to ourselves, what reality show could a potential acquisition be on that would immediately exclude them from a list of players I would want to sign? Basketball Wives is at the top for me. I think that show, you know, you're going on there for the mess, for the drama. If you're signing up for that show, you want to be part of it. I'm like, no, I don't want that on my team. Sean said Love and Hip Hop. It's very similar as far as what goes on.
Yeah, it is like the same show, basically.
Survivor, mostly because you just lose weight and injuries are a concern on that show. You're not going to be. I don't want you going on that show as a receiver at 190 and coming back at 165 because you're just eating rice, and your luxury item is salt. I don't want that. I don't want that. So Survivor, I would rule out too. What else? You said My Strange Addiction.
I mean, yeah,
sure. Because something weird is up with you. Sure, I would agree with that too.
Actually, any TLC, like if you're on 90 Day Fiance,
yeah, that's another one. I don't want you on my team.
It's nothing specific about being on that show. It's just the fact you were on that show.
Says maybe you're not a great fit for my locker room.
No.
So it's messy between him and Miss Jones, otherwise known as Mulan Hernandez.
Yeah, come on, call her Mulan.
Well, that's her stage name, I guess. But in the suit, she's named Mia Shamir Jones. So I'm going to go with her government name because the government's involved a little bit here. And plus, I don't know where that Mulan Hernandez thing came from. Is it because someone said she looked like Mulan and that's why she's calling herself that? I don't know the backstory there, so I'm not going to call her that. Plus, I just don't like that name.
What?
I like Mia more than I like Mulan Jones or Hernandez. I like Mia Jones better. So there it is. So Stephon Diggs, not the accused. He is the accuser in the lawsuit. But as I said, she fired back with, at least right now, just things she's saying because she hasn't put that on paper to file a countersuit. So there it is. Stephon Diggs in some mess. We know we found out his nickname was Community D, which is maybe another reason you don't want him around, or maybe that's appealing to you.
No, he for Diggs, right?
Sure.
And so he's always giving back to the community.
He's
Mr. Community. Mr. Diggs.
Well, he's given back to a certain community. Maybe not
Mulan's community.
Maybe not the community where we're giving food out to the disadvantaged. More like, hey, if you're a rapper's girl, I want you part of my community. So there.
What if he's on Temptation Island? I'm just looking at reality
shows. I mentioned that one. I don't want him on any dating drama show. If he wants to be on that Cam Newton show where they like simulate being a Marine, you know what? As long as you don't get hurt, it wouldn't bother me so much. But if the main point of the show is the mess, nah, I don't think I want you on my team. I feel like I can go get a younger receiver who won't cost me as much, who might decline the invitation, and may not be involved with a Mulan Hernandez.
Although, you at least know that Stephon Diggs can do this and still be
it's true
an NFL player. Well, we don't, you know, what if Luther Burden wants to be on Basketball
It'll
Lives?
Be my first question.
And we don't know if he can handle the commitment of both, like CJ Stroud. Handle podcast.
It would be my
he
first question.
He definitely can't be on Deal or No Deal.
I'm not Jeff Ireland, so I'm not going to ask the question he asked of Dez Bryant, as we talked about. But I would ask any prospective player I'm interested in, would you ever be on a reality show in the midst of your first contract with us? And if the answer is no, you rise up my board. If the answer is, yeah, maybe, nah, sorry. Yeah.
I honestly, I think you can just ask, like, if you could be on any reality show, what would you want to be on?
And the answer better be none. I'm about ball.
Or Impractical Jokers.
You know, I always had a dream of being on Punk'd.
I love Sal.
Now, I want an old school guy who watches episodes of Punk'd. That's the guy I'm looking for.
Man, when they pranked Frankie Muniz, that was great.
It was great. And didn't hurt Frankie, and he look at him now. He's not on the big circuit of NASCAR.
But no, I think he's like a truck series.
Yeah,
NASCAR.
Yeah. He's doing his thing. And a Malcolm in the Middle reboot is coming. I don't know if Frankie Muniz will be in that. Don't say it like that. Of course it is. If it's
a 20-year-old show, of course.
If Roseanne and others can get it, why wouldn't Malcolm in the Middle get Bryan Cranston back? What's he doing?
Of course.
I haven't seen Reese in years, so I'm not sure what that kid's up to. But hey, bring that back, Bryan Cranston, the wife whose name I forgot. Who cares? Fox or whoever gets it, I'm sure it'll be on Netflix or something. Bring that back. We're talking about yesterday after Gene Hackman passed that the streaming services would definitely push his movies. Turns out when I turned on my TV, it was more of a Michelle Trachtenberg joint. I was like, hey, you want to watch Buffy? I guess Tubi has Buffy or something. So I turn it on and Tubi on my home screen is going, hey, you wanna pay tribute to the young sister of Buffy Summers? We got it for you. No Harriet the Spy stuff didn't come up, so I missed out on that. So yeah, we talked about it. Did we get into the weirdness of the Hackman
nature
thing?
Yeah. Of the Hackman's death. Yeah,
we're not calling him that. Well, you can call him the Hackman. I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't say.
Thank you.
You can say whatever you want. Yes, pills on the counter of near his wife who passed away. Very weird. Some suggestions that they had been dead for long enough where mummification had occurred on somehow, some way. I'm not sure what environment led to that. So that's a very weird story. And I wasn't prompted to watch The Replacements or anything, but maybe you guys have once you lock into your streaming service. Very weird, very sad. Gene Hackman passes away at 95. Okay, when we come back, we will hear from LeBron James. Because there's a connection to what happened last night in the Minnesota game and what LeBron said after his game about faces of the league, and that's been a topic of conversation. Some people say someone should be anointed. Others say you have to take it. We know Anthony Edwards wants no part of it. And if we go by his actions last night where he picked up his 16th technical and then he did something else, speaking of guys who are low on a list of things that have happened, I'm not sure the NBA is going to be pushing Anthony Edwards if he continues to pick up the technicals, and then I'll tell you what he did after he picked up his second technical last night. Then we'll hear from LeBron. LeBron says, why would you want that designation when the people around the league talk about you in a certain way? We'll hear from him, and we'll get into some Astros stuff as well when we get back.
But first, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app, and things are always getting added to Prize Picks, no matter what. If it is a sport, there's chances are they have projections on it, and you can choose more or less and make some money. Earlier this week, I found out that there's a combine tab on Prize Picks with a bunch of 40 times loaded in there. And now we're getting to guys that you know, no disrespect to the linemen and the linebackers that are running the 40s, but this is where you can really flex your knowledge of, hey, I've seen that guy run 40 yards straight. I know if he can run more or less than a 4.43, like Matthew Golden, who his number is 4.43. I think that's too high. I think he'll go less than that. I think he'll go faster than that because he ran track in high school. That's right. That's my entire scouting process, is guys I've seen run on a football field, and then I just Google their name and then the word track and field. And normally, if some high school track numbers pop up, boom. I like him to at least know how to get out of the blocks fast. Another guy who ran track in high school who's also going to run a 40, Omarion Hampton, the UNC running back at less than 4.46. I like that. Again, he's another track guy. He actually ran the 200, which is a little bit closer to what you need to do when you run the 40. And to cap it off, I'm going to go Jalen Milroe. This is a disrespectful 4.42. Come on. I've seen Jalen Milroe outrun entire defense. I've seen him outrun the Georgia defense. I think he's going to run faster than a 4.42. And on Friday, it's a flex Friday, which means up to $20 on your lineup, risk-free for any flex play. So you just got to pick at least three. It doesn't have to be combined. They have NBA. They have college basketball. Just three picks, and it's a risk-free flex play only on Fridays on Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use promo code MAPES when you sign up to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code MAPES on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even have to win to get that money. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Spots are filling fast, and there's not much time left, but you can take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational, benefiting Kids Meals. This year's tournament will take place on Fat Tuesday, this upcoming Tuesday, March 4th at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. And each golfer is going to receive this: beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Brownback Deli, and dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage. And, of course, the 18 holes of golf. You can register now at ESPN975.com under the promotions tab. Few spots remaining. If you want to get in and join us out there, you can. We're going to be broadcasting all day from 7 to 6, starting with John and Lance and ending with the Killer Bees. So come on out there. Have a good time. And it benefits a really good cause, that is Kids Meals. Okay, last night Anthony Edwards picked up his 16th technical, which means he's in line to get suspended for a game. It's not a big deal. It ain't a playoff game, but people have been doing the countdown. We always do when one of the best players in the game. And mostly it's been a Draymond thing, but now it's an Anthony Edwards thing. We know the vibes. He's going to say what he wants. He's going to do what he kind of wants. And he is not looking to be put in a spot where the NFL starts marketing around him and he has to fit a profile so they can use him as one of their next guys to carry the league forward. The guy they currently have in the tuck is LeBron. Of course, that's going to end at some point soon here. Him, KD, and Curry in different ways have carried the league over the last 10 to 15 years. LeBron even longer than that. But that time's coming to an end, but we're still asking him questions because he's the elder statesman. So here's LeBron talking about faces of the league, what it means to do that, to be that, and why he understands anyone being reluctant to want to take that on.
I mean, it's unfortunate, but like, I don't know. Why do you want to be the face of a league when all the people that, you know, that cover our game and talk about our game on a day-to-day basis on everybody? I mean, that responsibility, it's just weird. It's weird energy from the people that, you know, I don't know. But Channing, he said it. He said it perfectly. Couldn't have said it no better. But Ant said he don't want it. Obviously, I didn't ask for it. But I knew there was a responsibility for me, not only to my family, my friends, my community, and whoever that was going to follow my journey throughout my career. not only in Ohio when I started there, but all over America and all over the world when I traveled all over the world. So I've always taken that seriously and understood from the beginning what being a professional was all about and being a role model was all about. So try to hold that with the utmost respect and honor. And but I feel Ant. I understand. I completely understand. This is weird energy when it comes to that. So.
And they played Anthony Edwards last night. Lakers won that game 111-112. They continue to win games. Luka did not shoot the ball well again, but doling out the assist in that game. Lakers are now the Rockets still maintain. No, the Lakers got it back because the Rockets had a half-game lead, and the Lakers played tied it up. So the Lakers have the 4 seed, and that'll go back and forth the rest of the way. As far as what he said, as far for the voices he could possibly be talking about, because sure, there are going to be people who kill LeBron for reasons, but for the guys you would say he would value their opinion, or at least he knows their opinion holds some weight, he's talking about the NBA on TNT guys, right? Like, there are other people who crush players, but they're the most prominent people who will do it consistently enough where it might take root.
I was also thinking Skip Bayless.
But
a guy who just like made his career off
going after him.
This guy sucks.
Yeah, but he is not a guy who makes his money specifically about the NBA. Now he doesn't make his money doing anything, I guess, at this point.
But I think.
But yeah, Skip would fit. I wonder if he's talking about the general media landscape or guys whose job is to talk about the NBA. Like, that's what they do. And I know Stephen A. Smith is that, but isn't, because he has to talk about everything. But he might fit that too.
I think he does, because he's like the most. No, I mean, he's the highest paid guy.
No, I mean
ESPN,
as far as getting after.
He talks about the NBA.
I mean, as far as getting after guys, as LeBron said, bleeping all over guys.
Yeah, he day bleeps to day. All over.
Yeah, so I think he would fit the profile. I think the guys on TNT fit that too, and it's more Shaq and Charles. I mean, Kenny's there, but he's not known for those actions. So it's more the
Ernie's vicious.
Clearly. It's more the two guys on the end. Two guys in the middle are, well, centered. They kind of don't do what the extremes left and right do, oddly enough. Kind of how this country works as well. But he's talking about them. He's talking about Stephen A. Smith. But is he right? Because do we follow the lead of those guys and trash the NBA? Because it was a conversation on the morning show about how people feel about the NBA. And from the tweets I saw, people dislike the sport, the game. They don't dislike basketball. They dislike the game of basketball as it's played by NBA players. And is that simply an aesthetic thing and that they've grown to feel that way themselves, or what NBA players feel is the constant trashing of them and their sport led to fans feeling that way too? And is it a generational thing? I mean, I am at a point where I guess, depending on who you are, you could go, you're one of the old heads too. Hate to think of it that way, but I guess you can classify me that way. I don't dislike the NBA product. I pick and choose which games I watch. You're not going to catch me watching Hawks versus Hornets, because I know that's going to be a crappy basketball game. And even some of their games that they feature, if I can kind of foresee how this game's going to go, like, I won't watch Celtics versus, let's just say, Celtics versus Magic. Magic were better last year than they were this year, but I don't like how the Celtics play. Beyond my hate of them because of who my favorite team is, they are a team who spam threes, and it doesn't help the NBA product when the defending champion leans all the way in. I think they are going to break the record for most threes attempted and for a team per game by like four per game. That's how many threes they shoot. And they do the math game. It happened here. Daryl Morey played the math game, and it worked until it didn't, until your best player fell apart in the most important games, or your second best player, when he was here, hurt his hamstring. So Daryl Morey would probably tell you, yeah, I played the math game, and I would do it again. I'd do it again because it worked.
I'd do it again, damn it.
Yeah, until it didn't. So when the best team in the league can spam for threes and win a title, that affects how people feel. But I do think the voices surrounding it have changed how people feel as well, because the NFL doesn't do it. The NFL wouldn't allow it. You don't tune into NFL Network. Like, ESPN's a partner. And Stephen A. Smith is kind of the fulcrum of what ESPN does, so he can do whatever he wants. Like, say a player's on a team who hasn't played in the league for years, he still does that. But he is separate. The rest of the guys, NFL Network, NBC, when they have games, they don't crush the NFL. They don't tell you, man, watching Joe Burrow was rough. I mean, you couldn't even do it this year. It was great. But, you know, guys can't beat the two deep. Quarterback play has really diminished. It's a more general thing. You don't see these guys killing players except for the talk shows that are ESPN. So I would hope that a player ignores that for the NBA's sake. If I cared that much about the NBA and who they need to be their primary face. But I'm not surprised that players feel that way. I don't know enough about hockey to know if they crush Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid day after day. If P.K. Subban actually does what he does to NBA players to NHL players. I don't know if he does that. He probably doesn't. The NHL doesn't have a lot of airtime. So when he gets on, he's probably talking pretty complimentary about the sport. But that's where we are. Your face of the league for the last 15 years is like, why would you want this job?
He's basically unanimously either the first or second best player of all time. And it's like, yeah, a lot of the time was just like, gosh, can this guy do it? and he was the second best player of all time.
His entire career has been a comp to the best player of all time. And anytime he fell short, it was an attack on not only him as a player, but his character. Does he have it? Is he tough enough? Is he mentally weak? All the things. Yeah, pretty strong.
I can see why, you know, a guy who's going to be nowhere good, near as good as LeBron was, is going to be like, maybe I don't want that.
Hey, Jason Tatum would like face league. No one wants to give it to him, though. Jason Tatum actually would like the mantle, just no one wants him as that guy.
No. You want to be hockey?
Yes, then go with Jason Tatum as your face of the league.
Yeah, you want everyone to hate the. I mean, there is fact, but like Jokic has been the best player for the last like three, four years.
We know he's not interested in it, and that leads.
And he's not the face of the league.
He's not either.
He gets to choose to not be the face.
Well, think
of the
about
league.
It, and this is to Steve. We mentioned him a couple of times in this segment. Stephen A. Smith's point is, we needed an American-born player to do it, and as it stands. You would say three out of your top six or seven best players aren't American-born? Jokic, Doncic, and Giannis?
Oh, I was thinking...
And Shea is not American-born either, but one's going to notice that. He fits the profile, even if he is Canadian.
If a Canadian can be the face of rap for 10 years, I think a Canadian could be the face of basketball.
I wish someone would have asked him, what about Shea? He's not American-born.
Yeah.
Does it have to be an American, or does he have to look a certain way and not have an accent? What if Shea... Every sentence he ended with A. Would that prohibit him from being?
I think it would.
I think it would.
Because so much of Shea is predicated on aura. And being Canadian
doesn't help
your
aura.
That hurts. Being openly Canadian hurts your aura.
Yeah, he's not openly Canadian. Even if he plays in the Olympics, we still don't think of him as a Canadian.
No,
the man will rise for old Canada, but we still don't think of him as Canadian.
Well, Canada in the Olympics, Shea was really good about it because he made sure that Canada didn't go too far in the Olympics, that people watched their game.
He is Canadian. Yeah, it's true, because if Canada's on...
if they played Team USA or if they made the semifinals, people would have found out.
Yeah, if they had a game against... If it was him against Jokic in the semifinals or the... Excuse me? What's going on here? You're right. He did enough or not enough. Actually, you can thank Jamal Murray for that. Murray played poorly poorly enough that no one realizes that Gilgeous Alexander is actually Canadian and not some kid from New York or something. All right, we will come back with our Astros update to start hour two. We'll also hear from Michael Carroll. He'll join us at 11:30 to break down what's on TV and what you should or shouldn't be watching. He is the host of Comicast, which you can hear anywhere you get a podcast. So we'll get to hour two when we come back.